You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hello, my name is Representative Pam Powers Hanley. I grew up in a tiny house in the Rust Belt, but my family always had food on the table and a roof over our heads. Arizona's children don't have those luxuries. I proposed legislation to expand maternal and child health and to tackle adverse childhood experiences like food, housing, and financial insecurity. Although Democrats held 48% of the legislature, Republicans blocked good bills like these with partisan gamesmanship. It's time for a new day. Instead of feather-bedding corporations with tax breaks, the legislature should guarantee food and housing security and quality schools for all of Arizona's children. It's time to prioritize the people's to-do list of education, healthcare, infrastructure, and security. As a progressive Democrat, I ask for your vote on November 3rd. Paid for by Powers Hanley for House 2020, I am Pam Powers Hanley. I authorize this message.
Because I'm not a politician, people ask me, Chris Nanos, why I'm running for sheriff. But for 40 years, I've been a darn good cop. Standing up to thugs and standing strong for victims, that's why so many members of the sheriff's department have asked me to run. They say their turnover has never been higher and their morale never lower. They say they want a new leader. I ask for your support to be that leader.
We need Nanos for sheriff. Paid for by Nanos for sheriff.
I'm Catherine Ripley, and I'm running for Pima Community College Governing Board for District 1. During my 26 years as a U.S. Naval officer, I learned to make critical and strategic decisions when they were most needed. As a former U.S. diplomat, I was the voice that brought diverse and opposing forces together. Today, as an adjunct professor at Pima teaching political science, I've seen lives changed and enriched. And now, as a mom who's raised two children, I'm worried about what a post-pandemic world will look like. The people of Pima County deserve equal access to the affordable education and technical training programs that only can be offered at Pima. They deserve a fair shot at getting jobs. They deserve equity and dignity in the workplace, and we need them now more than ever. This is a critical election year. We need your voice, your values, and your votes. I want to be your voice to ensure we are all heard. Visit our campaign at catforpcc.com. I'm Catherine Ripley, and I approve this message that is paid for by Catherine Ripley for Governing Board.
Now, over in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note, I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Embry. I said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it. And I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did. And he fixed it. It runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had after I'd left Perfection Auto Works. And this guy is a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me. And I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Embry at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night and good luck.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum today. Commentator, defense lawyer, and former chair of the Democratic Party, Jeff Rogers, leads off our show. Then we'll talk with Rex Scott. He's running for the Board of Supervisors, District 1. And then, of course, Jim Hanley, who is a financial expert, talks about how to survive the pandemic in your income, if you're going to have any left at all. Let's go to Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party and commentator. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. Thank you so much.
Glad to be here, John.
Well, President Trump apparently in private talked about the deadly coronavirus last February, said he was declaring to America it's no worse than the flu, insisting it was under control. That's what he told journalist Bob Woodward. Trump said he would just be the cheerleader for the nation, trying to keep everybody calm. And Trump told Woodward in March, it was a strategy to minimize the danger. You can't make that up. You can't make that up. That's what he said. That's what he did. Unbelievable.
Well, he was briefed on January the 28th by his national security advisor and was told, you know, this is going to be maybe the most catastrophic thing, certainly during your presidency, but maybe in the last 100 years, dating back to the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. So he was clearly told of it, and he clearly understood it because he told Bob Woodward that, this is five times more deadly than the flu. Spreads in the air that you breathe. And so he clearly knew how serious this was. And then not only did he ignore it, but he lied to the American people. This is going to go away miraculously, just a few cases here and there. Nothing to be concerned about, drive on by, don't pay any attention to this. And that kind of an attitude when the rest of the world was taking this virus very seriously is the reason why a country with 4% of the world's population has over 25% of the deaths and over 25% of the cases that have been diagnosed. So he put us on a path to destruction. And frankly, some people have said that he basically murdered 100,000 or more Americans by his inaction and his lies.
You know, Jeff, if you were a lawyer and you were talking to a client saying, this is a serious crime that you're charged with, but don't worry about it, it's no big deal, it's not a problem at all, and blah, 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 and here's this guy facing, or woman, whatever, facing very serious charges, and is literally deceived by his lawyer, then you go to the bar and they take your license. Same thing if a physician tells you, this is a fatal disease, but don't worry about it, everything's fine, it's just going to be okay, I want you to feel better about this, they would stop you from practicing. So what happens to a president that does the same thing that lawyers can't do, physicians can't do, and nobody should do?
Well, he should be marched out of that office and impeached and thrown out to the wolves. But the fact is that the Republican Party is full of nothing but sycophants and losers, and to use the president's own term there, they won't do anything about it. So it's going to be voters in 52 days that get to decide whether or not we send this guy packing or whether or not we take a chance and with four more years of attempts to destroy our democracy.
Well, let's go to the loser comments and the so-called comments that the president made concerning those who died not only during World War I, but World War II as well. It's unimaginable that this individual could say such a thing as commander-in-chief of the military of the United States. When I read that, when I saw it, I certainly could imagine him saying it. I'm sure that he did. But how do you get away with that one, too? How do you do that?
I felt the same way. The minute I heard it, I said, well, of course he said that. I mean, that sounds exactly like him. And then of course, CNN went on to talk to the people who said he said it, and they verified it, although they want to be off the record. Fox News verified it. They first said it was, it was untrue, and then they had one of their reporters, not one of their commentary people, one of their reporters verified it and said, we're hearing from the same sources that it's true he said that. And then, of course, there's the statement that he made to General Kelly while he was at the National Cemetery, basically saying, what was in it for them? Why did they, looking out at all of those gravestones, what was in it for them? Why did they do that? He is conceptually, incapable of thinking of anything that doesn't involve profits or money. Anything else, you're a loser and a sucker. If you gave your life for your country, or if you gave your life to save fellow soldiers and were a hero in a battlefield, it's meaningless to this man. I mean, just absolutely meaningless. He can't even understand the concept of bravery and a value of something more valuable than your own life, your country. And it saddens me to think that, a good third to 40% of American people who vote can't see this evil staring them right in the face.
Well, President Trump said he never called John McCain a loser. He did. There was no question about that. Trump distorted events. I believe he was in Kenosha, Wisconsin over a week ago with his own hand, and this whole idea of fallen soldiers But the idea that he never called McCain a loser, he did, and then tried to say that he didn't. And, of course, that was a record. You know, it seems to me the truth of Donald Trump's untruths is they've become not simply normal, but taken for granted. Saying that Trump lied is like saying tide came in, Cleveland Browns lost, now what? And that's Leonard Pitt's comments, not mine. But we've become so accustomed to this that it maybe we don't even pay any attention to it anymore. These lies, one after another. By the hundreds and by the thousands. I mean,
certainly
good God.
About a third of the public doesn't pay any attention to it. That's for sure right now.
Well, we get to a particular point where you ask yourself, how in the name of goodness do we return this guy to office for four more years in just what we've discussed over the last 5 minutes? How do you do that? How do you support this?
I can't see how America can, but some of the polls are showing that Biden's lead is narrowing in Michigan and Florida. Today. So, you know, it's not impossible. You know, if the election were held today, I feel confident that we would win and win by a wide margin. But, you know, we got 52 days to go. And, you know, God knows what kind of surprises that Bill Barr is going to have for us. I'm sure he's going to release some mythical report that says that the president was wrongfully investigated for the Russia thing, which is, you know, going to be some kind of scandalous report that will be filled with the lies that Bill Barr likes to tell on a daily basis. I'm sure that he's going to put pressure on HHS and the Center for Disease Control and all the other powers that be to preemptively approve a vaccine which has not yet been proven safe or effective, so that he can brag to the voters that, you know, there's this vaccine created in record time. I mean, these are things on the horizon that I foresee happening, and they'll probably all blow up in our face. But you know, that's what, you know, they've got planned. You can bet there's going to be multiple October surprises.
On the other side of the coin, is there a possibility Trump loses by a huge margin and the Senate goes Democrat? Let me take a quick break and you kind of contemplate that possible scenario, and we'll come back with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Democrat tsunami. Possibility? Maybe. We'll talk with Jeff after these messages. For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. Five times Beth has asked for the support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes. Once again, Beth Ford asks for your vote for Pima County Treasurer. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County Treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020. Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and commitment to responsible government. Sharon led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected environmentally sensitive lands while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon Bronson is a leader, and through these difficult times, we need her leadership more now than ever. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor. Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district: Floyd Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next District 1 supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. With us is commentator Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, one of the best defense lawyers in the country. What chance do Democrats have of taking the Senate? And give me some states that's where that is possible. Iowa, perhaps, South Carolina, Lindsey Graham. I don't know about Kentucky, but there's other states that you have an eye on that could help us take a look at whether the Democrats rule in the upper chamber. What do you think?
Well, I think the easiest one to pick is going to be Arizona. I think Mark Kelly's going to clean up on Nick Sally. And most polls show him with a double-digit lead. That'll probably narrow somewhat by Election Day, but I think that's one that we're going to win for sure. I would love to see Lindsey Graham go home. I would be shocking for South Carolina to pull that off, but it would certainly be something that would tickle me to death. But I think those are ones to look at. Kentucky, I'd be very surprised if she's able to pull off the upset against McConnell in Kentucky. I think Susan Collins is toast. I think she's probably, in addition to Kelly, the most certain Republican to lose. So I think those are a few of them. And the Colorado race may well go Democratic as well. So I think we've got a pretty good shot at taking the Senate no matter what happens.
Is Ernest in trouble in Iowa, do you think?
I think that's a possibility as well. But I think that one would be, a bit of a surprise if that was pulled out. But that was a possibility. And all this race is the possibility. If we take both the House and the Senate, increase the margin in the House, and then win by a wide margin, maybe even a landslide, which, is certainly possible against Trump, then, I think it will go a long way towards helping fix the kinds of problems he's created in the last 4 years. But it may, be a positive thing for the Republican Party if they can somehow, shed Trumpism from their image and from their philosophy. Then maybe they can go back to being, an honorable party that has ideas that I may disagree with, but that they're a genuine philosophy and based upon ideas. And it's not that kind of party now, and it hasn't been for some time, and it's culminated in the invention of Trump as the Republican Party leader. And so I think the Republican Party would be better off. It would be better off if we have, a vibrant two-party system that really reflects American values, and instead of, one party full of kooks.
Let's go to David on our phone line, 790-2040. David, you're on the John C. Scott Political Forum with Jeff Rogers. Go ahead, David. Thanks for your call.
The reason why I called in is I want to bring out the reason why this pandemic is spreading so much is people are not wearing masks. I went on a little trip up to Utah, and I ate at a restaurant, and nobody, absolutely nobody, was wearing a mask. People are careless. People are irresponsible. People are not wearing masks. And this is just spreading around. In other countries, people are responsible, and they're wearing masks, and they're doing the right things to stop the spread. In this country, people are careless and irresponsible. They aren't wearing masks, and they're just spreading this stuff all over the place.
All right, David, thanks for your comment. I appreciate it. Jeff, that also brings up an idea here that we probably ought to discuss, and that's Doug Ducey, our governor, literally dealing with low approval ratings during this pandemic. And he got close to Trump, and almost anybody that does that pays a price for it. I think our governor is doing the same. We got the spike in the COVID-19 cases that have blown a big hole in how Arizona thinks about Governor Doug Ducey. Your reaction?
Well, Doug Ducey basically waited too late to close down Arizona, and then he opened it back up too soon on Trump's advice. And I think David is absolutely correct. When we first encountered this virus, we were, worried about the surfaces. Well, now we understand that getting it off of a surface is probably not likely. that really probably 95% of the cases transmitted are through the air we breathe. And wearing masks and mandating mask wearing is something that every state governor should do. The president probably doesn't have the power to order that, but he could certainly get on board politically and popularity-wise by saying, I'm wearing one and everyone should wear them, and no one is coming to one of my rallies without a mask, or any other political gathering I'm going to put on. And if people like Ducey and Trump did that, and mask wearing reached a level of 95% or more, then we could kick this virus's butt. But David's 100% correct. You've got all these stubborn people, particularly Trump supporters, were just saying, this is an insult to my dignity. It's an insult to my freedom to be forced to wear a mask. Well, you know, it was tough to turn your lights off in London during World War II when Hitler was bombing Great Britain, but people did what they needed to do to win that war. And, we're turning out to have a great deal of weakness in this country. We don't seem to have the strength to beat back this virus. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're rudderless and have a leader that can't lead his way out of a wet paper sack.
Well, as you take a look at the particular manipulations of our postal service, as well as messing around with those who are eligible and those who are not eligible to vote, how much of a manipulation power does the president have to really screw this whole thing up and put him back for four more years?
Well, he's got quite a bit of power to do that, and he's got an attorney general who is absolutely ruthless and dishonest and has turned into his fixer, like Michael Cohen used to be. And that's, you know, how he's going to try to do it. But, you know, he has a lot of power, and we're seeing some of that power right now. I mean, on the eve of the Republican convention, he called this enormous press conference to tell another giant lie to the American people about how this plasma was going to be so great. And as it turns out, they had to apologize days later and say, no, it's not making a 35% difference.
Well, Jeff Rogers, thanks for your thoughts and your observations. I'm always, always glued to the radio to hear what you have to say. That's why we have you on the air, and I really appreciate it. Jeff, have a great weekend. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Thank you so very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, commentator on the John C. Scott Show. Coming up next, James Hanley, who is a financial advisor. And then we'll have Rex Scott on. So stay with us on the John C. Scott Political Forum.
I'm Steve Diamond, and I'm running to be your new Pima County Supervisor. This district hasn't had a competitive election in 48 years, and I'm running to finally give voters like you a real choice. Our current county supervisor, Steve Christie, supports the failed policies of Doug Ducey and Donald Trump. Christie voted against protecting public health during this pandemic. Christie, Ducey, and Trump made Arizona one of the worst COVID-19 hotspots in the world. Pima County can't afford more business as usual. In 2020, change is on the ballot. A vote for Steve Diamond is a vote for environmental protection, fair housing regulations, equal rights, justice, and economic development without tax giveaways. Steve Christie works for special interests. I will work for you. I'm Steve Diamond, and I approve this message. Paid for by Steve Diamond for Supervisor.
Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubble, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
Now, over in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note. I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Empering. I said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it, and I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did, and he fixed it and runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had after I'd left Perfection Auto Works, and this guy is a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me, and I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Empering at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night and good luck.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. With us now, Rex Scott. He's a Democratic candidate for the Board of Supervisors in Supervisor District 1. Hi, Rex. How are you?
John, I'm doing really well. Great to be back with you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. It's an uphill battle there. It's been a Republican supervisor district for quite some time, but you're going to change that. Tell me how that works. How do you do that?
Well, I think the biggest factor, and it's one that hasn't been tested in local politics, at least not in this end of the county, is that I have spent half of my career working as either a teacher or an administrator in this district. I started out my teaching career at Flowing Wells Junior High, and then I was an assistant principal at Ironwood Ridge High School and the principal of Tortolita Middle School. And I think when you've got that kind of baked-in name recognition with families because of the work that you've done on behalf of their kids for a long time, that's a big factor that, like I said, hasn't been tested in local politics before. But there are some other factors that we are banking on. First of all, the change in voter registration in the district, which we've talked about on your show before. Used to be that the Republicans had an edge of close to 12,000. That's down to less than 3,000. If you look back at the primaries last month, for the first time ever in District 1, more people voted in the Democratic primary than the Republican primary for this seat. That's even given the fact that the Republicans had a competitive four-way primary on their side. And more independents, quite a bit more independents, pulled a Democratic ballot than pulled a Republican ballot. So we've got those factors going for us. We've also been mounting a very vigorous grassroots campaign since the spring. Started out with door knocking, and then when the pandemic kicked in, went to lit drops. We're going to have a very aggressive direct mail and digital media program. And because of the fundraising that we've been able to do, especially since the primary, we're going to have the resources that we need to get our message out. So for a lot of personal factors and political factors, I think this district is definitely going to be the most contested race of the five for the Board of Supervisors.
Allie Miller, the incumbent, leaves after a couple of terms here, and one of the more controversial supervisors, I think, in recent memory, ill-suited for public office is the way I always described her, but her protege, Mr. Spain, is the person she chose to, I guess, follow her into office. So there's not much change if he wins. There's a great deal of change if you win. How do you differ from the Allie Miller era, if you will, from Supervisor District 1?
Well, what has been really apparent since Supervisor Miller was elected is that the only people that she wants to talk to, the only people who get any kind of response or service from her office are people who agree with her politically. And I've been a public servant for my entire career as both a teacher and an administrator, and I couldn't just work with the students who I liked the most. I couldn't just talk with the parents who agreed with everything we were doing at the school. I couldn't just work with the colleagues who I thought were most aligned with my educational philosophy. I had to work with everybody. And in a district like ours, which is truly purple in terms of voter registration. There's 55,000 Republicans, 52,000 Democrats, and over 40,000 independents. You need someone who is going to reach out to everybody and honor all voices and ask a lot of questions before they make decisions on behalf of the district. And that's the way I've led as an educator. That's the way I'd lead as the supervisor. And I think that would be the most significant difference from the way the incumbent has conducted herself in office for the last two terms.
I think you would agree with me, Rick Scott, that we're going to go through some very difficult times. Sales tax is dramatically down in the city. Of course, the city depends so heavily on sales tax. But property taxes aren't going to be paid at the same level they were paid for before, and that's one of the crucial financing mechanisms of the county. I think we're headed for some very difficult decisions that this county is going to have to make in some times past this pandemic. And, of course, into a recession, that is because of the unemployment rate across the county and the great number of people who won't have a job to go back to, let alone if they could get back to work, that would be good. But there's no jobs for some people who have been out of work because of COVID-19. How would you deal with what is, I think, a looming financial crisis unlike anything we've ever seen in Pima County in our livelihood, in our life?
Well, and it's not just the impact of county revenues as far as property taxes go. And the board does set the rates for the primary property tax and also for the secondary taxes that handle debt service, the library district, and the flood control district. But a significant portion of the county budget is also state shared revenues. And unless there is another pandemic relief package from the Congress, the United States Congress, there is going to be a trickle-down effect that is going to impact state governments, county governments, and municipal governments. And that is going to require some quick and difficult decision-making on the part of, at the county level, the Board of Supervisors. And I've got 23 years of public sector budgeting experience, four of them as an elected official in my home state of Ohio, and 19 of them as a public school administrator. So I'm eager and ready to use those 23 years of public sector budgeting experience to help the county deal with any revenue shortfalls and always being mindful that public health and safety have to be our highest priorities, regardless of the revenue issues that we're dealing with.
So how do people help Rex Scott get elected to the Board of Supervisors, District 1? What do they do?
Well, go to our website, scottforsupervisor.com. That's the number 4. You can sign up to get a yard sign. And by the way, we have a bunch of yard signs down at Pima County Democratic Party headquarters. You can sign up to volunteer. If you want to make a contribution, you can do that. But as I've said on your show before, the most important thing people can do is tell their families, their family members, friends, and neighbors in District 1 that they have a chance to elect someone who's already got a record of service to this district and wants to continue his commitment to service as their next county supervisor.
Rex Scott, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for running. I think people owe you a debt of gratitude just to get in this race, and it can change in District 1 because of your incredible campaign. But good luck to you, and thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it, Rex. Thank you.
John, thanks very much for the time. Have a terrific week.
You too. Rex Scott, Democratic candidate for the Board of Supervisors, District 1. Jim Hanley is a financial advisor. We're headed for some very difficult financial times. What guide can we have from Jim Hanley that will help us through it? We'll talk with our financial advisor, Jim Hanley, after these messages. The words in the handout from Dr. Randy Freese reads, a doctor who gets results. These words sum up Dr. Randy Freese's hard work and commitment to the voters in Legislative District 9. Dr. Randy Freese has fought an unending battle for quality access to health care. As a doctor, as a veteran, as an educator, Dr. Randy Freese has fought to improve the quality of life for all Arizonans. Dr. Randy Freese is a legislative leader that gives Southern Arizona a voice of responsible government. Vote for Dr. Randy Freese in the November 3rd general election. This message is paid for by Dr. Randy Freese for House and authorized by Dr. Randy Freese. Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor.
I'm Nick Pearson. My motto for many years has been La Comunidad Primero, the community first. Our children are the most important part. We must improve academics and close the student achievement gap. We must improve the technology gap and stabilize the district financially. I'm experienced and well qualified to serve on the TUSD school board. I will provide the balance and strong finance background needed to help stabilize the school district. I'm running for the TUSD governing board, and I'm seeking your vote on November 3rd.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios with his financial advisor, Jim Hanley. And Jim, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you.
It's great to be here, John.
Well, I want people to realize you were incorporated as a limited liability company, I guess, back in 2004, registered as an investment advisor. I'm not sure what that means to people. Investment advisors can mean a lot of things. What does it mean as far as your responsibility to your clients? And we're going through some very difficult financial times, and gosh knows we need some advice that can get us through this. So let's talk about your qualifications to help us through a very, very, very difficult future.
All right, great, John. My qualifications are that I hold a Series 7 and 65. So those are our testing to prove your competency for dealing in securities and providing advice to clients on a fee-for-service basis. So registered investment advisors are licensed either by the state or nationally to charge a fee for their advice on investments. Just like CPAs and attorneys can charge a fee for their advice. So it sets us apart from other professionals in the industry, such as stockbrokers, because stockbrokers are usually licensed to be commissioned for the sale of securities, not to receive compensation for their advice. And they also do not have the highest standard for securities advising, which is that you have a fiduciary obligation to your clients, just like CPAs do. So we have to be able to prove, if necessary, that the advice that we gave our clients was in their best interest, not just that it was suitable for them.
By the way, I've been predicting doom and gloom. I don't know whether anybody else is at the moment, but how much doom and how much gloom do you foresee in our financial future, and how important it is for qualified and reliable, responsible financial advice to get people to save what they've got and perhaps earn more in what they have?
Well, John, I don't have to tell you or your listeners that we are living in very interesting times. And sometimes financial markets behave in ways that don't really make very much sense. Right now, it seems, you know, counterintuitive that the stock market is trading at historically high levels. There hasn't been too much volatility in the last month or so, although last week we did have almost a 1,000-day point drop on the Dow. So when you have a market which is testing historical highs frequently, and we at the same time are experiencing this pandemic, which, you know, it's a 100-year event, and all of the change in our social behavior that has required. You know, businesses are hampered. We know that, at least. And we know that I think I've seen a statistic that 40% of small businesses, American small businesses, will be casualties of the economic downturn that was caused by the necessity of this pandemic. So, To have that much optimism in the market is rather confusing, you know, frankly, not just to the casual observer, but even to professionals. So some say that investors have written off 2020, that they're not going to be expecting to see a lot in earnings, corporate earnings, and are looking to 2021, 22, and so forth going forward. That's one of the explanations for this market being so optimistic. When you're testing historical highs, you know, you perhaps have a greater chance of a correction than you do of further advancing, and I've seen chief investment officer reports recently where they're saying that the third quarter earnings are not going to be as bad as people might expect them to be, And if that is the case, those prices can be supported because of those earnings. But I don't know. I think, you know, when we see whole industries such as the air industry, air travel industry, maybe operating at 30% of capacity at best, and then we have the cascade effect from that, you know, that reality of hotel bookings, rent-a-cars, restaurant, you know, reservations that are already hurt because of suppression protocol. It's hard to imagine the third quarter earnings reports being a pleasant surprise, but, you know, we'll see what comes. You know.
By the way, historically, Jim, how do presidential elections play into the market and affect the average investor dramatically or not so much?
Well, John, you know, that's another conundrum here that we have this pandemic. We have this, you know, pandemic-induced recession. And then we have all this tremendous uncertainty about the election. I mean, it might seem like, you know, the old timers will say, well, I've never seen such a big difference between the two, you know, the two candidates as we have between President Trump and Joe Biden. But gee, you know, that's a reality. There's big differences in policy, in style, you know, between these two. And so, well, it seems that, you know, Biden has a comfortable lead. It depends on what polls you look at. But there is still this tremendous uncertainty about the direction of the country, you know, following this election. I would be foolish to suggest there wouldn't be a significant change in direction for if Biden is elected. And so, you know, you would think that typically that would cause uncertainty in the minds of investors, but it doesn't seem to be bothering them too much, you know, at this point.
So, Jim, how do people get advice? I understand you have a cell phone and you answer it 24 hours a day. I don't know anybody in the financial advisory business that does that, but you do it. I don't know how many calls you get at 3 a.m., but the truth of the matter is you have a cell phone and you answer it, so how do people reach you?
Well, they can call me up, and it is true that my business phone is my cell phone, so I have it all the time. And if somebody wants to call me, a client wants to call me, they can call me. They'll get me. So, and also, I don't have any front office staff to run interference for me. So you know, if for the clients that do business with me, they know that I'm a sole practitioner, and that I'm the person who's going to be talking to them.
And your phone number is?
It's 520-623-3646.
623-3646. Got it.
Yes.
Jim, we're going to have many conversations about this economy. I think people are very concerned about it. They want to know what's the best in their interest to not only salvage what they have, but to get what they want. And, of course, you deal with financial planning, general financial consultation, and portfolio management, and all kinds of varieties of service that we'll be talking about. Jim, thanks for being on the air with me. Thanks for taking some of your weekend time. We'll look forward to another conversation very soon about the economy, which is
a
question mark.
John.
Thank you so much. All right, thank you.
Okay, have a great day.
You bet. Jim
Bye.
Hanley is going to be our financial advisor. We'll talk with him on an intermittent basis, or at least throughout on a regular basis. About your finances. Thanks for being a part of our show today. I want to thank Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, Democratic commentator, Rex Scott, supervisor candidate, Jim Hanley. Have a great weekend, everybody. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for listening.
But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
This is kayfake. Donald Trump was seen laying thousands of $100 bills near the Capitol building to repay the Russians for an easy election. Now the weather. Jane?
Thank you, Jim. Today it's going to snow and hail.
But it's September.
Yeah, I know. It's all Trump's fault.
Do you often wonder if the diagnosis and estimate from your auto repair shop is, well, fake? Are you told the car needs one repair, and after that repair, the problem is still exactly the same? At Perfection Auto Works, when you get our free inspection and diagnosis, it's never fake. We back our repairs with our one-year, 12,000-mile warranty. Call Perfection Auto Works today for an appointment. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, emissions, complete auto repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Andrea D'Alessandro is one of the hardest-working state legislators in Arizona. We need to send Senator D'Alessandro and her strong voice back to the House of Representatives in Legislative District 2, which includes part of Pima County and all of Santa Cruz County. Andrea's hard work as a proven and experienced progressive leader serves the best interest of Arizona. Independents and Democrats, vote for Andrea D'Alessandro for the legislature in Legislative District 2 for the House of Representatives in the August 4th Democratic primary. This message paid for by D'Alessandro for Arizona 2020. Authorized by Andrea D'Alessandro.